On this program, we sarcastically say thank you for your service a lot. With this guy, this isn't sarcastic. Is it true, Jesse, that Eric Name has not slept yet?
It's the word that I've received.
Yeah, you think Tausch is grumpy and tired. I bet Eric Name's still more pleasant. Joining us now from The Athletic, he has covered the Bucks and covered Giannis for a very long time, and he continues to do so, and he asks the tough questions of his guy when they have to be asked. It is our friend Eric Name of The Athletic. Eric, good morning. Usually you say good morning to someone who has gotten some sleep before that. That's not the case with you, is it?
That is correct. I just told Jesse I'm very excited to do this interview and then go to sleep.
Well, thank you for your service. Enjoy your nap when you get to take it. We just played your exchange with Giannis, his apologetic response for making it personal. And within there, lots of wisdom. Let me ask you the question that you asked him. Is this season a failure for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. All season long, kind of what you heard from the team was that this is about winning a championship. This season, you know, when you go out and sign Joe Ingles, it isn't about Joe Ingles playing well in January or February. It is about Joe Ingles being ready to go for the playoffs and making big plays for you down the stretch. When you trade for Jay Crowder at the trade deadline, the goal is that he's defending Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown in the Eastern Conference Finals. And you just go down the line, right? Like, this is a team that won a championship 2 years ago. Last year, the assumption from the Bucks and observers around the league was they would have won the thing if Chris Middleton stayed healthy. And with all of that in mind, the thought was, all right, if they can stay healthy, they can win this thing again. And, you know, over the years, the Bucks have always said, you gotta be healthy, you gotta be good, and you gotta be a little bit lucky. That's always been Horst and Bud's line over the years. And the Bucks didn't get those things in this series. I think there's also just them not playing well enough. I think that was a series that could have been won if they simply played better, but they didn't. And now you're looking at a spot where, you know, this is a team that lost to an 8 seed. And yes, Giannis played 2.25 games of those 5 games, but this is still the team that was the best team in the league losing to an 8 seed. And their season is done before the month of May even begins. And I think if they're not thinking about this as a failure, I'm going to be really curious how they can live with themselves running it back next season and doing this all over again. And I'm not saying that means wholesale changes. I'm not saying, you know, that means Mike Budenholzer's gone or you don't re-sign Chris Middleton or whatever it is. Like, I'm not saying exactly what it will be, but I just don't know how you can kind of run all of this back next season.
So before I turn it over to Dollar Tausch, the other thing that I thought Tausch made a really good point about was expectations. And what you just said feeds into that, right? That was the expectation of this team. They fell short of it. But I don't want to sound condescending when I say this, but I was proud of you. This is what you have to do, even with players that you have a great working relationship with, and you have one with Giannis. I am curious, though, if you think the F word is just the problem. Like, whatever Giannis is feeling and whatever Coach Bud was feeling, but Coach Bud came up with, like, 3 different synonyms for failure to answer your question, right? Do they just not want to use that word? Because they feel the same way, even if they won't put that word on it, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was a little bit surprised. So I guess for me, I think you as a human are not a failure. Your life's work is not a failure. But I think a particular moment in your time can on this earth can be a failure. I think a particular season can be a failure. Like, the thing I struggle with is the stated goal was the Bucks wanted to win a championship.
Right.
And if you don't win a championship, you can say it other ways, but you failed to reach your goal. And again, I don't, maybe the F word is really what is bothersome for people. But you can pick a different synonym of the word fail if you want. You still didn't reach the goal. It may just not feel as, you know, harsh on your ears as the word fail. But I just struggle to think of this season. And that isn't to say there isn't circumstances that help explain it, right? Like, no one is going to, you know, look at that series and be like, well, Giannis was clearly healthy for all those games. Obviously he wasn't. He didn't play two of the games. And the third game that he only partially participated in was the first quarter of that game. So, like, you can obviously reason away why they lost, but they came up short. And to me, that's just kind of the facts of the matter, whether or not you want to use that word.
So, Eric, were you surprised that Giannis got that emotional with how that when you asked that question?
Yeah, I was. Genuinely, I think Giannis is a fascinating case study in sports psychology, because I think he has a lot of really upper level thoughts on the rejection of, like, the binary nature of wins and losses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think over the years he's gotten very good at understanding, you know, process. He's gotten good at understanding the philosophy behind trying to build your habits, the philosophy of, you know, what you can learn in moments where things don't go your way. And I just thought, like, I know that as I'm thinking about this season, because they came short of their goal, I view that as a failure. And I did not believe that he would view it in that type of binary term. And I assumed he would have interesting thoughts on, you know, failure in general, or whatever you want to say, losses. And to me, that was going to be kind of an interesting road to go down, because to me, how intellectual he's gotten about all these things, he just speaks to a higher mental capability that he has I'm not going to say all players or anything like that. Like, there's plenty of players that, you know, can think about it in the same way. But I just think over the years he's matured in such a way that thinking about those ideas that so often in sports we view as simple, he can have high-level thoughts about. And I thought it was going to be interesting to hear kind of how he views a season like that didn't go their way.
Yeah, Eric, I thought, I mean, obviously your questions with Giannis and that's made the rounds, it was fantastic. The other one that I thought was really, when you were talking to Budenholzer, and you basically said, why didn't you use the timeout? And he didn't have an answer. That was, I thought, really interesting. What was it from your end?
So I don't know any of this for sure, but I got to rewatch the video, obviously, once I got home at like 1:30 last night. And, you know, rewatching that portion of the game, the way that the entire Bucks bench reacted, I'm not aware that I don't believe that they are aware they had a timeout. I truly don't think that they thought they had one more timeout left. Because there wasn't any movement from anyone on the bench. There wasn't someone signaling to Mike Budenholzer, like, hey, let's take the time out. Because in my head, that was my first thought. Okay, half a second, can we advance the ball? And I looked up at the scoreboard and it said I could. So in my mind, I would have called the timeout. And it just seemed as though there was no one on the bench thinking that, which to me would suggest that, you know, they were of the belief that they didn't have any timeouts left. And as I asked the question, it did in some ways look to me as though I was informing Mike Budenholzer for the first time that he had a timeout.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And again, that's I truly don't know, right? Like, and I'm probably never going to know. But as I asked the question and saw his reaction, that was my first thought was, oh, I don't think he knew that they had a timeout.
Ugh. That doesn't make us feel any better. But so when you have a failure,
that's a failure.
We'll say it. We'll say it if Giannis doesn't, because I get where he's coming from. But when you have something like this, and you've seen this, obviously the championship, people are calling for Bud's job. People are saying, what else? I would love to see them go out and get Dalla Dame. That's what I mentioned to Jason earlier in the show. Don't
that's
you
Dame
shake
Lillard.
Your head at me,
Wilson. That's Dame what, Lillard, if you don't know who that
listen,
is,
Eric
he doesn't
knows,
get the nickname right.
Eric and I know our hoops. We don't need to clarify that. But, Eric, in all seriousness, what do you think when you start and when the dust settles here, is this team going to run it back? Or do you think there are going to be major changes?
I just think what we've seen from the last 24 hours, and I mean, I guess go back even further. I think the collapse in game four, a 14-point collapse in the fourth quarter, followed up by a 16-point collapse in game five. I think when you look at that and then you look at, you know, the way that the timeouts were handled, you look at Giannis after the game, I mean, throughout this series, I've been asking, why is Giannis not covering Jimmy Butler? Because that was the strategy that was successful in 2021 and repeatedly just not, I mean, Mike Budenholzer answered the questions, but it was pretty much, you know, we just think Drew's the answer right now. And then you listen to Giannis after the game say, yeah, I wanted to cover him. Like, that's what I wanted to do. But, you know, you have to respect the coach. I just think you pile all that up, and I think it gets somewhat difficult for Mike Budenholzer to walk into that locker room next year and have everyone believe in him and believe that, you know, this is the guy that is going to lead us going forward. And that's not to say, you know, they get together in a month and, you know, Mike Budenholzer is able to convince the players of, you know, changes that he's going to make or whatever it may be. That could happen. But as of right now, I just think back to the last week of this season. And I think if you're a player, I don't know how you really have that trust, because it did feel like at times during that series, the Bucks were just kind of throwing their hands in the air and like, well, what do you want us to do? You know, Jimmy Butler's making shots and everybody else is making shots. So, I don't know. You want to, no, we're not going to try anything else. We'll just stick with this, and they'll probably miss some shots eventually. And I just don't know if that's good enough. So to me, the coach is going to be a serious question. And I think you guys have followed professional sports long enough to know, coach is the easy one to change. When you have millions of dollars tied up in wide receivers and quarterbacks, or point guards and shooting guards and power forwards and centers, it's a lot easier to switch out the coach. And it won't be that easy. Mike Budenholzer still has 2 years left on his deal. I think it's somewhere between $15, $17 million. That is going to be a tough pill to swallow. If you do want to go out there, but also you have a new owner in town that has deeper pockets, that, you know, in the interview he did with us at The Athletic said, you know, I'm committed to winning. And if you're committed to winning and that's your response to me asking you how you're going to pay for the luxury tax, what is $16 million to get rid of a coach and buy a new one? And I think that's where it all gets interesting, because the new owner, I don't think Jimmy Haslam wants to come in and make waves, but this might be it might be wave making season. Like, that just might be how you have to go about it because of what has transpired in the last week in Milwaukee.
Eric Name on No Sleep with two incredibly insightful remarks, and by the way, putting together the sentence about Giannis and the, quote, rejection of the binary nature of wins and losses when you haven't slept. Thank you for your service, my friend. That is one hell of an appearance. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
You know that scene in Old School where he's like, I just blacked out. I didn't even know I did that. Well, that's where we're at with the no sleep. So
get some sleep, dude.
Entertain you.
Yeah, we appreciate you. The great Eric Name of The Athletic. Wow.
No, they stopped. No, the Bucks right, did so, stop here.
So
this song's not fair today. The Buck does stop.
So Green and spending, maybe. On
hope so.
Changing a coach.
Dollar Dame.
And lots of dollars on Dame Dollar. There's some stuff here we need to unpack. So we'll talk a little more about what Eric Name had to say. Then we'll play
you
some trivia.
Yet? You scratching? You got to be scratching a little bit. That Packer hive's going. Draft day.
I hope all the folks that tune into this show for Bucks Talk and are almost always disappointed
this
are
song
pleased
is so
today.
Good, even though it doesn't
it's not apropos.
Any of what we're feeling. It is completely inapropos. But still a great tune. Catchy. Look at you're even dancing, even though the Bucks they ain't green and they ain't growing.
They're brown and their season is dead. We're gonna unpack two of the things that Eric Name said during that appearance, which he may or may not remember saying because he's blacked out from tiredness. But they were unbelievable. We'll talk
Soundcraft.
About those. Can I just get to a commercial?
Yeah, go.
It's Wilde and Tausch.